The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Warning. This show contains adult political themes and language. Liberals and little children should cover their ears.
Welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps, where negativity never sounded so good. Now here's your host, Thomas Purcell.
Good morning and welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps. Make sure to follow the show at our website at libertyneversleeps.com and make sure to follow our Twitter feed at Real Liberty Tom. Join us on Facebook at Real Liberty Never Sleeps on Facebook.com. Good morning. Happy Halloween for those of you who listen to it on a daily basis. Today's Halloween. When did Halloween suck so bad? When did that change from when I was a kid? You know, at some point, I remember, well, at some point, Halloween didn't become about the kids. I don't know when that happened. Maybe it was in college, but it seems like Halloween, it used to be a kid's holiday. Remember, kids would go out, do trick-or-treats, dress up. You go to the store, you get a costume. It was a big event when I was a kid. When I was a kid, Halloween was really big. But, you know, if you look at it from a certain point of view, Halloween for a kid only lasts about 7 or 8 years. Because when you're too young to appreciate Halloween, like when you're a baby or something, you don't go out and trick or treat. Well, maybe some of your parents do. I don't. That really annoys me when parents show up with a baby or a 1 year old. That kid's not going to eat all that candy. The parents are, but I guess they it's a thing, a family event. But you really only last, what is it, 6, 7 years? Maybe you start trick or treating about 7 or 8. Or any, I don't know, does it happen earlier, effectively? Do you remember much? Do you remember many Halloweens at six? I remember, I think it was like the second or third grade I start remembering those Halloweens. And then it lasts until, what, the second year in high school, maybe? Because then by the time you're a junior and stuff, it's a kid's thing. So it's only about 7 or 8 years, but it seemed like it was bigger than that when I was a kid. It seemed like it was a huge event, and Christmas was the same way, much bigger than Halloween, of course. But it was a big event. You came home, and you had this bag, and you put it out on the kitchen floor, and you looked through all the candy and what you were going to eat and what you weren't going to eat. And it isn't anything new that you had to examine the candy. I remember even as a kid. And as it was in ancient history, I still examine the candy for, like, you know, opened packages, stuff that you wouldn't eat, stuff that wasn't packaged, you know. And then there was always some jerk in the neighborhood that gave out walnuts or quarters or something. Or I shouldn't say quarters, pennies. And you just, I remember there was one guy who gave out walnuts or holiday nut mix. And he put a couple nuts in your bag, and he did this for every kid. And when you went by the guy's house the next day, there were nuts all over the lawn because the kids would just throw back at the house. At least that's what happened when I was a kid. I don't know, but everybody gives healthier snacks now. And then the adults took it over, and it became a huge holiday party event where people got blotto drunk and threw up on the streets and wrecked their cars and stuff. I don't know when that happened. But Halloween stinks now. It's an adult holiday. It's a holiday where adults dress up in contests, go to bars. It's a singles night. And the kids can't go out because you have to x-ray your candy. You know, a lot of local hospitals offer free x-rays to candy. I mean, really, do you need to, is it that bad? And everyone is upset over Halloween costumes. You can't dress up like anybody because you'll offend some group. If you dress up like a character from a movie, well, that's offensive. If you dress up like Mr. Magoo, oh, that's offensive to blind people. If you dress up like a Native American, oh, that's offensive to Native American. I mean, you can't. What do you got left? Right? It's I don't know. Halloween at some point just became stinko. It was no fun anymore. Liberals take the fun out of everything, don't they? I mean, it just seems that way. You know, there's I often tell a funny joke about social justice warriors. How many social justice warriors does it take to screw in a light bulb? One, and it's not funny. That's, you know, it's never any fun. Everyone who is involved with politics on a personal level, you know, social justice warriors, protesters, things like that, they're so unfun. They never want to talk about any issue. It always resorts to name-calling, slander, hostility, yelling, screaming. I posted a number of incidents on my Facebook page over this Pittsburgh thing. You know, Donald Trump couldn't win for losing in Pittsburgh. It's a horrible situation. And usually a president goes and visits with the families and stuff like that when something like this happens, just to show them that the federal government supports them. You had a whole bunch of Pittsburgh people, like the mayor and stuff, saying, don't come to Pittsburgh, you're an anti-Semite, which is so ridiculous. You know, he's got a Jewish family, Donald Trump. He's a huge supporter of Israel. Netanyahu has said he's the strongest U.S. president since Reagan. It's a complete nonsense. And the leadership of Pittsburgh said, oh, don't come here. This is a time for a family. This is our home. But the rabbi at the church and a number of rabbis invited Trump because he is the president of the United States and it's a time for healing and that kind of thing. And he took them up on their offer and he went to Pittsburgh and everybody was upset. The mainstream media reported it as Donald Trump comes here against the wishes of the people of Pittsburgh, which wasn't entirely true. He was invited there. And they would have hammered him if he didn't go. If he didn't go, they would say, oh, he's insensitive and unfeeling. You know, the guy can't win for losing. Everybody's angry. Everything has become a big issue. Everything is politicized. I talked about this earlier in the week. You can't get away from it, right? And now Halloween. Halloween is stinko. Kids can't eat what they want. I remember if there were a couple of years. This was, I think, about... oh, maybe about 8 or 9 years ago, Halloween almost got killed because there were a number of incidents with people poisoning the children's candies. And then the hospitals started allowing x-rays of children's candies. There'd always be some hospital that would do this. And it was like nobody showed up at my door. It was a habit for a couple of years. And then kids started coming back again and it became a kid event. Now half the kids that show up at the door are adults, right? They're older kids, like teenagers, like juniors and seniors in high school, looking for a free handout. There was one woman whose Twitter account has been since banned, who said, "Well, if anybody knocks at my door dressed like Donald Trump, I'm going to knock them out." I mean, it's just they ruin everything. You can't get away from it all. Sitcoms are constantly talking about whether Trump's appropriate or not, or whether why is that a part of comedy? It's situation. It should have nothing to do with that. Evening news discusses it all the time, whether Trump is correct or not. We're going to talk about some of those issues today. We're going to talk about the 14th Amendment, because Donald Trump, God bless him, has taken the national narrative off of whether that the fake or hoax bomber, you know, the one who sent the explosive devices to all these liberal leaders, that the national conversation was about whether it was a liberal plot or not. And Donald Trump, bless his soul, gave us something new to scream about this morning, because he has said he's going to sign an executive order about the 14th Amendment, which grants birthright citizenship by a Supreme Court interpretation. We're going to talk about it. And he's going to reverse that. He's going to say, nope, doesn't matter. You have to be born here legally to have a child here legally. And the idea of birthright citizenship really has been misinterpreted over years. And I'm going to define it by executive order, and which is not a good idea from a number of reasons. But I'll explain. I like the intent. I like the idea of eliminating the idea of anchor babies. which has been a method by which our country has been turned into third world countries in a lot of cities. And I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the 14th Amendment. I'm also going to talk about the Second Amendment and about Constitution originality, because I think it's high time we do that. And understanding what the meaning of the word of the Constitution, the idea that it's a quote-unquote living document, and originalism itself. And I think it's important that our listening audience understands that on this Halloween night. On this Halloween day, I should say. All Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve is where it comes from. All Saints Day is November 1st. I remember as a kid, Roman Catholic, the church saying you had to go to church on All Saints Day. I'm like, what? You don't get me enough on every Sunday. You don't get me enough on the first Friday of every month. We had to go to church on first Friday of every month in school because I went to Catholic schools. They would cut the holiday and you had to go to church on Friday instead of finish the rest of the day in class, which I mean, I'm not a church going person. You know that. I find church extremely boring, and frankly, I know a lot of people need the structure of a organized religion. I don't. It's just a thing. And I hated All Hallows Eve because they go, oh, you got to go to church on all. I never did. There's so many holidays. And I, over the years, as I grew up, I just stopped going to church at all. I stopped going on Sundays. I went to church on Sundays up until about high school. Then it became sporadic, you know. And I was more interested in girls than church. But, All Hallows Eve, that's where it comes from, All Saints Day. And, you know, you're supposed to talk about the dead rise and that kind of thing. I didn't feel it was necessary to do an entire segment on it, on what Halloween meant. To me, Halloween always meant candy. Getting sick on candy. And I remember, you was right about, between Thanksgiving and Halloween, right in that period, I would say the week of Thanksgiving and the week after, that the Halloween candy was pretty much run out. That's how long it would last, right? Today, I remember now as an adult, it's the kind of thing where, you know, half the bucket is eaten by me. Anyway, we need to move on. 14th Amendment, we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about Trump's executive order or what he's writing or Lindsey Graham's legislation, which has a much better chance of changing birthright citizenship. We'll be right back after this brief break. What does the 14th Amendment actually say? It says, and this is from the exact text of the Constitution, all persons born or naturalized in the United States, naturalized being you go through the process, you learn the English language and that sort of thing, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state in which they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which abridged the privileges or immunities of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection laws. It's called the Equal Protection Clause, due process. Then there's the second section, which defines what a representative is, the second section, which defines senatorial authority. Section 4, the validity of public debt by the United States. Section 5 is Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. That Section 5 is really important to our discussion today. The Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of the article, not the executive branch. The founding fathers believed that legislation should originate from Congress. That division of power, where Congress is the head of government, the executive branch is the head of state, and the judiciary determines which is constitutional or not, That division of power is what essentially guarantees you your liberty. Because the concentration of power under a single form of government, such as a prime minister or a dictator or through mass democracy or whatever, that's how you have a tyrant. It's impossible, or virtually impossible, for you to achieve tyranny in the United States because of the division of power between the different bureaus and different chiefs, between Congress, the president. They're constantly in struggle, and each division of our government can veto the other one for a variety of reasons. I love that system. It's a system that is unique to America, by the way. Every other country has governance by a limited amount of people, but the United States doesn't. It has limited governments by government. And the people hold the power. Proof of that is the fact that everyone's going crazy that Donald Trump was elected. Donald Trump announced that he's going to write or sign an executive order which essentially reinterprets the 14th Amendment and says that an illegal alien is not of the jurisdiction of the United States, as it's been talked about in historical context, and therefore their having a child inside the United States makes them also not a citizen of the United States. This interpretation of the 14th Amendment is shocking at the best. I mean, God bless Donald Trump. We were all talking about whether it was a liberal plot, these bombs or not. No, nobody's talking about that. Everybody's talking about the 14th Amendment. You know, I love Donald Trump because every time the national conversation is on a situation which puts the Republicans on the defense, he goes on the offensive. People talk about his deal-making ability, but the guy has a natural instinct for politics. I don't know if he did it deliberately. I don't know if it's his team that come together and say, oh, this is what we'll do. We'll drive the liberals wild. We'll announce this. Or whether it was just inadvertent. He just happened to be talking about it. I have no idea. But if it was at all deliberate, he's a brilliant, I mean, absolutely brilliant politician. Because this is a political maneuver. The president of the United States doesn't have the authority to change the tenets of the Constitution. That takes a constitutional amendment or an act of Congress. You know, a lot of people talk about whether an act of Congress, in other words, legislation is unconstitutional or not. Well, if the Congress makes a law and then it suddenly becomes constitutional, Justice Scalia talked about this. Scalia was probably the furthest right Supreme Court justice we've had in a long time. He believed in the concept of constitutional originalism, which is that the Constitution is a law or set of laws. They mean what they say, and they are not open to interpretation. If you don't like what's in the Constitution, you could change it through a process called the amendment process. It takes 2/3 of the votes of the states, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to go into it today. So the 14th Amendment and the interpretation of that first part and the jurisdiction thereof, Donald Trump feels that he could just change it with an executive order. He can't. What he can do is direct the bureaucracy to not recognize the authority of the states to recognize birthright citizenship. In other words, when you're born from an illegal alien or, well, anybody being born, there's a birth certificate issued and then it's registered by the state. This is one of the things that I brought up when everyone was questioning the presidency of Barack Obama because they said, well, he was born in Kenya, that sort of thing. And his parents were born in Nairobi or whatever. I mean, I don't want to go down that road today. But I said very simply, look, the state of Hawaii certified Barack Obama as a citizen of the United States. There's his birth certificate. And some people have said, well, it's photoshopped. And again, this is the irrelevant. The point is the registrar of Hawaii said he's an American citizen because here's his birth certificate. We certified it as such. When they interviewed the registrar of Hawaii, she said so. That right could not be recognized or has to be recognized by the federal government, and he could write an executive order that way. it almost certainly will go to the Supreme Court right away. Because people are being born all the time. There's an issue of emergency. You know, the Supreme Court has the ability to hear a case right away. And people have petitioned the court, you got to hear this one right away because it's affecting things now. Also, he could write the executive order, and then within 24 hours, some federal court judge somewhere could say, oh, no, this is an injunction. It's going to have to be debated in front of a court panel and determine the executive power to do this. The intent of the executive order, I'm in agreement with, because different countries have different terms of citizenship. But the 14th Amendment, as written, was done at a time to basically grandfather in slaves who were born in the United States, but, you know, their families had been brought here through slave trade. And they wanted to ensure, through a variety of reasons and a variety of people and a variety of cases, including the Dred Scott decision, they wanted to ensure that every slave that was now free from the Emancipation Proclamation and from the other amendments, the 13th Amendment, they wanted to ensure that those people were still American citizens and had equal protection under the law. That's why it was done. That interpretation to protect illegal aliens and saying that their children are then citizens, that interpretation really came about from an 1868 case. Let me go through this here. I would say about 4 or 5 hours going through the issue. The case was United States versus Wong Kim Ark. This was an 1898 case, so it wasn't too long written after the 14th Amendment. It came before the Supreme Court to determine whether a Chinese immigrant had rights insofar as being a legal citizen or not. And the United States interpreted the 14th Amendment to protect someone who was a child of an illegal immigrant, and that was the case which determined that the 14th Amendment applied to illegal aliens. But Wong Kim Ark came in the United States at a time when legal immigration was simply a matter of registering it when you arrived in the country. In other words, we didn't have immigration law, a complex immigration law, the way we have it now. And so therefore, the Supreme Court case, the 1898 case, could conceivably be reinterpreted. It can't be done with executive orders, despite what President Trump's been told. He's wrong about that. Not to mention, there's another problem. If the president decides to change law, assuming this would hold up in the Supreme Court, assuming that you would violate the balance of powers between Congress and the president, which was violated routinely in President Obama's presidency. Put that aside for a second. It becomes problematic because then the next president could simply reverse it, could simply, just like most of Barack Obama's executive orders were with Donald Trump. You simply have a change of administration and then we change the law. And that wasn't really the intent of the Founding Fathers. Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution to provide us a law and a blueprint by which our society was built. It's not meant to be subject to political hacking, which is what the executive order is. The executive order really was designed for the president to direct their bureaucracy, or the elements of the head of state, State Department, the Treasury Department, that sort of thing. It was not meant to determine law. However, Lindsey Graham is now, during this same, I think within the last 24 hours, says, I'm going to sponsor legislation which would essentially reverse United States versus Wong Kim Ark, would reverse 1898, and essentially reverse immigration law here in the United States. That has a much greater chance of getting through the Supreme Court. If Congress writes legislation saying that immigration law, in other words, the standards of immigration to the United States include that of anchor babies, illegal aliens having children. It depends on how the legislation is written. It could very well hold up in the Supreme Court. You don't have to have a constitutional amendment to change certain elements of the law. As I said, that part or the jurisdiction thereof is going to be something that's hotly debated. It was hotly debated at the time, too. As a matter of fact, the arguments between the people and the different sides of cases and before the Supreme Court was clear that it was never intended for an illegal alien to come across the border 5 minutes later, have a kid, and having their son or daughter an illegal immigrant. They mentioned that. They talked about that because there was immigration law at that time. It just wasn't as strict. It wasn't as convoluted as it is now. And it didn't really have the effect of making illegal aliens illegal, which is the way it is now. So legislation could certainly resolve this because of that clause. Because you have jurisdiction is determined by law, not by constitution. There are a variety of things that the constitution has jurisdiction over. There are a variety of things that the state has jurisdiction over. There are a variety of laws, and each of them have different jurisdictions. Since that is available to the United States, since that is available to any citizen, there are certain parts of the Constitution which are, how should I say this, provisional guarantees. In other words, you have a guarantee of due process. Any illegal alien coming across the border who is caught by the Border Patrol has the right of due process. That's a constitutional right. It's guaranteed to you. It's a limit on government. Government can't take away a lot of different things unless there's due process. In fact, can't take away your residency in the United States without due process. You go to court, you go to an immigration judge, and you say, well, judge, I'm here for this reason. I'm here for asylum purposes. There are people that want to kill me in my country because of political instability in the area. And the immigration judge, if you have a valid excuse or a valid reason to come here, may grant you temporary immunity and give you a green card. Doesn't grant you citizenship. You need to apply for it. But says, okay, you can stay here for 60 days, 90 days, a year, or 2 years. Or the immigration judge can say, no, you got to go back. You need to immediately deport yourself. A lot of times it's self-deportation, which I'm totally against. If the judge says you got to deport, they push you out the gate. We have different rules about that. We can't push people out the gate into Mexico if they're from Guatemala, for instance. We have a problem. That's why you have so many people coming from Guatemala, Honduras, and other countries, because they know they won't be immediately deported because those countries will not accept. People should be aware of this. They will not accept them. You have to put them on a plane, and there's a whole lot of problems with that. So there's a matter of jurisdiction, but the Constitution does not give implied warranties, not guarantees, to citizenship. There's nothing in the Constitution which provides warranties. For instance, there are certain constitutional provisions that do not provide to illegal aliens. You can't vote, for instance, despite what California says. So these warranties and guarantees over the years have been interpreted different ways by the Supreme Court. What they teach in law schools about constitutional originality, we're going to get to later in the show. But you have to understand, the matter of jurisdiction is a really convoluted issue. The illegal alien coming here, they are subject to the laws of their country. If they earn income, they have to pay taxes to their country and so forth. They are under the jurisdiction of another country. Now, if you break the law here, you now fall into the jurisdiction of the United States. So that's going to be the argument that is going to revolve around this whole case. It needs to be heard in a Supreme Court courtroom. And the Supreme Court needs to determine once and for all whether Congress has that authority without constitutional amendment. I could tell you right now an executive order won't fly. Simply because of Article 5. Only Congress can change this. Only Congress has the authority to change this, as it should be. And the reason Article 5 of the 14th Amendment was put there was to prevent exactly what's going on now. To prevent a president from violating the terms of the balance of power, of the Equal Protection Clause, of the other things. They didn't want a president to determine what due process was. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is doing. That's why he can't do it with an executive order. That's why it's plainly unconstitutional. Not because you can't, by executive order, determine certain things in the Constitution. It's just that That is a violation of the balance of power in the United States. There has to be that separation of power. That's why Article 5 exists, folks. Hate to break it to you. I understand what Donald Trump is saying. Well, I have the authority to not recognize these birth certificates because I have the direction of the bureaucracy. Time out. Article 5 prevents you from doing that. Only Congress can do that. And that's why Lindsey Graham immediately stepped up to play. When Donald Trump talked about this on an interview, saying he was about to do this, and then it was confirmed by various news organizations that he was, Lindsey Graham immediately said, oh, wait a second. You're overstepping your authority, Mr. President. I agree with the concept, but now that you're saying that you're willing to sign a law, we'll sponsor it in the House because we've got control of the House and we've got control of the Senate currently. And maybe they can expedite it through before this election, which is going to change the composition of Congress. But let's talk about another amendment, which has been hotly debated, which is relevant to the 14th Amendment. Because when we talk about what the Constitution says and what it means, it often becomes two different things. The Second Amendment often comes up. And let's talk about that next. We'll be right back after this brief break. Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at Patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to LibertyNeverSleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. And we're back. What does the Second Amendment say? It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, that's pretty obvious to anyone reading it, right? Well, not so much. A militia being necessary for the protection of the freedom of states doesn't say you got to belong to a militia to own a weapon. Well regulated, what does that mean? Well, at the time of the Constitution's writing, the word regulated means well ordered. The intent and the wording of the Constitution in the Second Amendment again returns to the concept of originality and original thought on the Constitution. The intent of the Founding Fathers, and this was hotly debated in the papers, the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers. Again, I've always said this, read both so that you hear both sides of the argument. Was hotly debated, but bottom line, both sides agreed. An American citizen has the right to defend oneself both from enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, how would you do that? Doesn't say with a musket. As a matter of fact, they often talk about puckle guns and machine guns. What they were also talking about is a rifle, which is the common way you still defend your nation. A rifle. Every soldier has a rifle. Oh, some are automatic and some are non-automatic, some are semi-automatic, some are machine guns or whatever. But essentially, you defend yourself with a rifle. And don't tell me that you can't defend yourself with a rifle from a modern country, from a country able to fight World War III. You certainly can. If you think you can't, talk to the people of Vietnam, Afghanistan, Syria, half a dozen insurgencies going on around the world. It's a rifle. Single shot, multi-shot, makes no difference. You can take a single-shot rifle and essentially use it like a machine gun. And you don't have to put a bump stock on them. I can do it. Very simple. I've done it. You just rest the gun on your shoulder and let the recoil action of the rifle pull the trigger for you. And you could fire quite fast with a single-shot rifle. There's no need to do it. No need for a bump stock. You can. It makes it easier with a bump stock. That's beside the point. You have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to defend yourself with a handgun, a sword, a rifle. Makes no difference if it's an AR-15. It makes no difference if it's any one of a number of rifles. The reason that the AR-15 is in pretty much everyone's, you know, anyone who is a gun enthusiast, the reason is because it's cheap, it's efficient, it's accurate, it's lightweight. It's all the reasons why you would have a personal firearm, a personal defense. Firearm, it's a rifle. It's the absolute definition of the Second Amendment. It's necessary to a free state for a people to be able to form a militia. Because that's how you defend our country. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to have like police forces in our cities. Never intended for a standing army. That's what we have. They assumed that in times of need, in times of crime, in times of invasion, attacks on the United States, everybody pick up a gun. Minutemen. They wanted that. They didn't want a standing army. Now we have it because people don't understand what the Constitution's intent was. But that was the purpose of the Second Amendment. So that's why I find all of this discussion about the right to own guns, whatever, I find it ridiculous. If you want to eliminate guns in our society, you want to eliminate handguns, if you want to eliminate the AR-15, it's very simple. File a constitutional amendment petition, and then we can all vote on it. That's how it works in this country. But they don't want to do that. What they want to do is write laws and executive orders and circumvent the Constitution through extra constitutional means. This is the problem with the 14th Amendment and Donald Trump. That's why I say Donald Trump's wrong. Can't do this. Well, he could try, and he can do things with the bureaucracy to circumvent the intent of the 14th Amendment or circumvent what's happening with anchor babies, depending on your point of view. But he can't rewrite it. Congress can. Congress can make certain laws which circumvent the Second Amendment if there's loopholes, but there aren't any. Second Amendment was written in the plainest language that they could. That was in the time of 1787. There's no loopholes in the Second Amendment. It doesn't say, well, you have the right to defend yourself with a single-shot rifle. You can't have automatic weapons. You can't have this type of weapon. You can't. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say flintlocks. It doesn't say muskets. It's very plain and simple. It's a right for you to ensure liberty. Just in case. The division of power, as I said, is really the thing that protects you. But the gun, the ability to pick up a rifle, shoot back. In other words, shoot back. That's important. Shoot back, not to shoot people. Defend yourself. Is very important to liberty. Because it's the deterrent effect. Right? A government, when it becomes oppressive, when it decides we're going to do things that the people won't like, and it's going to meet resistance. What's the first thing they do? They take away guns. That's what King George was doing in the 1770s, long before the American Revolution was announced. There was fights. There was gun smuggling. The King of England had ruled that you couldn't own a gun. You couldn't do it without taxation. You couldn't do it. And they were smuggling guns into the United States via ship and other methods between the states. When, you know, some state would have an armory, another one wouldn't. And the king, King George, attempted to take away the guns of the American citizens. And so when they wrote the Constitution, they wanted to ensure that the American people had the ability to fight back. You can't fight back a government with a handgun. You just can't. You have a limited range, limited accuracy, limited ability to fire the weapon. Rifle, you can. Oh, yeah, you can. You get 100 guys with rifles who know how to use them, or have some training, in other words, basic military training, which I say we should return to. You take 100 guys like that, oh yeah, they could put up a hell of a fight. Could hold off a lot of guys, man, especially if they're trained. Doesn't take much. Take a look at the streets of Aleppo, Syria. Take a look at the streets of any city that's currently undergoing a revolution or insurgency. It's a train wreck, right? And they don't have weapons of mass destruction. They don't have fighter jets. They don't have tanks. But boy, try and dig out 100 guys with rifles who are trained with modern warfare. It's almost impossible without wrecking the city. And no government is going to wreck its own cities. There's no point in it. Well, in Russia they do. In Syria they do. Look at it. And still they can't get rid of an insurgency effort. That's why it exists, folks. That's what the Second Amendment guarantees you. And that acts as a deterrent to government. If government knows that its people are armed, then it's loath to do anything beyond the ballot box. You take away guns and it can do anything. Take a look at nations where guns are not allowed. Take a look at nations in Africa, mess, warlords, things like that. Take a look in people who are pressed with socialism, where they live like peasants in countries, in westernized countries. They have no ability to strike back at their government. If their government decides tomorrow, their prime minister and their parliament, to decide, oh, we're going to do this. You think the people of Germany, you think the people of England can do anything about it? No. Pretty much no. They still live under a friggin' king in England. King Charles takes the throne. Let's say Elizabeth dies or abdicates. And Charles takes the throne and he says, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to dissolve Parliament. And I'm going to assert my right. Yeah, people will be angry. There'd be blood in the streets, as James Cromwell says. Interestingly enough, Cromwell. But they couldn't do anything about it. That's the reality of it. People don't realize that. You live in other countries and other things. You don't realize what you give up when you give up your right to self-defense. That's what's important. That's what's enshrined in our Constitution. Originalists, like Scalia, say, no, the Constitution is a law. It's not open for interpretation by a Supreme Court justice. Let's talk about that next. We'll be right back. You know, this is why I talk about the Constitution in terms of what the law says. The Constitution is a set of laws. Read it thoroughly. You know, everyone was reading the first line of the 14th Amendment, but wasn't going to Article 5, Article 4, Article 3. These things are all important. You have to read it thoroughly. The men of the 1787 Congress, who first designed and wrote and signed the Constitution, the original Constitution, spoke the English language and spoke it pretty plainly. There were different terms, there were different ways of phrasing things, but they spoke it pretty plainly, and they wrote down what was important to them. They called it the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and it's a law, just like any law, just like a no-speeding law, whatever. It's not, you can't open for interpretation of law. If it says you can't speed past 55 miles an hour, that's not open for interpretation. But somehow our law schools have been teaching this idea that the Constitution changes depending on the political bent of the people and the social mores of the time. That's what they've been teaching in law schools since about maybe World War I or so, since the 20s. That's changing. Law schools in darkened corners have been now teaching that no, the Constitution is written for a reason, in English, in plain language, and the only way you can change the Constitution is through a constitutional amendment. We've gone away from that. We used to do that. When blacks claimed that they had the right to vote, the right of freedom and whatnot, when the Civil War was over, most constitutional scholars when in the 1800s were viewed as originalists, if you were to view it today, said, no, we can't just say that slaves are free. We can't just automatically go, oh, you have the right to vote. No, we have to amend our Constitution because there were inherent clauses in the Constitution which prevented it. So such as the 14th Amendment. They're not citizens. They were brought here from another country, unwilling, but they're not citizens. So what did we do? We wrote a law called an amendment. The Founding Fathers put in a provision saying, oh, listen, things are going to change in this country. We know that. We know that society will grow, different understanding of law, different interpretation of the law, different rights. Here's the process by which you can change the Constitution. They actually spelled it out. Here it is. You want to change our law, this is what you do. And that's what we did. When women said, we want the right to vote, women's suffrage from the 20s, we got to amend the Constitution. We changed the law. Oh, we're not going to allow alcohol in our country, which is a simple law. You would think in today's world, you would just do it with an act of Congress. Not so at the time it was done. Prohibition was a constitutional amendment. Can't have alcohol, period, above a certain alcohol content. And in order to change it back, did they do an executive order? Did they do an act of Congress? No. You know what they did? They amended the Constitution again. Prohibition was repealed by constitutional amendment. That's the way we used to do things in this country up until about the 1920s. Then it stopped. It didn't stop in regards to congressional pay. They were able to find certain room for constitutional precedent in that. We amended the Constitution before. We've amended the Constitution since. What's the date of the recent constitutional amendment? 1980s? Yeah, what was the last one, I figure? I know there's been talk about an ERA amendment, but American people have a way of changing our Constitution, but we've gone away from that. We've gone to, let's let the Supreme Court decide what's right and wrong, right? Let's let the Supreme Court decide. Well, what you're doing when you say, let's let the Supreme Court decide, you're saying 9 people in robes can decide what is legal and what is not legal in your country. That's never the intent of the Founding Fathers. They did not want that. If they wanted that, they would have appointed a government like a parliament with a prime minister and a king. But they didn't. They wanted each branch of our government, Congress, executive branch, the president, and the judiciary, to each have its own distinct and separate branch of government, head of state, head of government. President deals with foreign powers, deals with the military, deals with the bureaucracy. Congress, you make the laws. All laws have to originate in the House of Representatives. By the way, Obamacare didn't. It was a sticking point. I always thought it could be made more of it, but they never did. That was the intent of the framers. That was the intent of the Constitution. We've gone away from that because law schools have taught it. Not because that's the way the Founding Fathers wanted it. That's important for you to understand. Because I get this all the time. Well, you don't know what the law says. I don't. I really don't. I know exactly what the law says. Read it. It was written at a high school level. It's not a sophisticated document. It's a very simple document. Read it. Almost anybody can understand it. Anyone with an adult sense of right and wrong. Based on Judeo-Christian law. What does it say? That's what they need to understand and go back to. But almost everybody that presents an argument about militia, about, you know, the Second Amendment, about the 14th Amendment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, always says, well, that's not what the law says. And they always start quoting legal scholars. But they never really quote the Constitution. What does it say? You know why? Because that's the loophole. And everybody seems to be happy with it. Oh, let's let the Constitution say. Let's let the Supreme Court decide. Supreme Court decide this, then Supreme Court decide. That's why Obamacare is in law today. Did you know that? It's because John Roberts says, no, no, no. If you want to change Obamacare, if you want to say that it's legal or not, then you don't come to us. You change the Constitution. It was a very strict and narrow interpretation of the Obamacare law. Well, John Roberts says, no, no, Congress made this law. Therefore, it's legal. Now, Scalia disagreed with him. Said, well, no, it changes the relationship between the American citizen and the government, that the government can decide what you can do on your sofa, basically. But John Roberts had a very narrow and strict version of it. He came from that school where lawyers and Supreme Court judges decide whether laws exist or not. The same school of thought that gave us Roe versus Wade. There's no law that says abortion is legal, by the way. It was because the Supreme Court interpreted current law. The Supreme Court is designed to protect laws from violating the original intent of the Constitution. Scalia talked about this extensively. He has a number of speeches that are available on YouTube, lectures that he gives on the subject. Constitutional originality protects the law, and that's what the Supreme Court's supposed to do. It's supposed to prevent legislators from making laws which violate the law as written. It was not meant for a Supreme Court to interpret law. He talks about it very candidly, and he says, no, because if you make the law about interpretation, if you say that the Supreme Court can interpret what the Constitution meant, in other words, what as depending on what cultural and what is normal in your society, like, for instance, transgendered rights. We have a change in our society. We have a lot of people going around who are transgendered now, who say, well, I'm born a certain way, I'm a woman in a man's body, or vice versa, and whatnot, and there's a lot of discussion about it, and a lot of discussion about transgender rights, and they're saying that we have these rights. Now, a person like Scalia will say, no, you may have them, that's okay, but you need to change our Constitution, because our Constitution doesn't specifically say what the law is. Same thing with the Department of Education, a lot of departments, the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that government should be building homes. Nowhere in the Constitution should it say the government gives you the right to grant education loans or whatever. That's a completely misinterpreted version of the Constitution. And in order for the bureaucracy to exist, like a Department of Education, a Department of Housing and Urban Development, you need to change the Constitution. That's originalism. But we don't do that now. We allow the Supreme Court to decide our rights, and that is very dangerous. Because what if somebody challenges something based on a lawsuit, says, no, I have a right to transgendered rights, and the Supreme Court simply says that right exists. Now you have 9 people in robes deciding what is your society, the context and makeup of your society. They could, and if you have a president, this is why everyone goes nuts with Kavanaugh, with Gorsuch. If you have 9 people that can determine what is legal and what is not legal based on their interpretation, well, then you can politicize anything. You can make anything legal or not. That was never the intent of the Founding Fathers. They wanted the vast majority of the people of the American society, the American electorate broad, to determine law. Not 9 people in robes. And if appointing a Supreme Court judge like Kavanaugh or Gorsuch is so controversial and so upsetting, then we're doing it wrong. A Supreme Court judge, an individual judge, or even the majority judge should not have that kind of authority and power. If they do, we're doing it wrong. The power should reside primarily with Congress, who makes laws. And that is wide open to the power of the American electorate. We vote in our representatives. We vote in our Congress. It's a very convoluted process, and it's very difficult. It should be very difficult to pass laws in this country. And that's why, you know, when people get so upset, it's impossible to get it done. It's impossible to get a constitutional amendment done. It's impossible to get legislation done. My representative won't listen to me. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be in gridlock all the time. If it's hotly debated, if it's not a subject that everyone basically agrees on. Gridlock is a good thing. Gridlock prevents tyranny. Gridlock prevents authoritarianism. That's why I'm so opposed to bipartisanship. Bipartisanship is tyranny. If you have both sides of Congress and both political parties basically negotiating your rights and your laws, you got a problem, man. If both parties basically exist to agree, then you got one political party, and that's, again, not the intent of the Founding Fathers. They intended to have vigorous debate. They intended to have a very slow-moving government. That's what they wanted, limit government. Read it. That's what That's what we've become in our society now, because we can't accept losing. We can't accept that there are other people in the country with different ideas. And this goes to 11 left and right, because the right wing gets rabid too. Not quite as much as the left wing. Left wing, you know, is crazy. I think it's part of lysine deficiency, but that's for another day. Another discussion, another topic. I post those videos all the time for a reason. Not to laugh at liberals, but to show you that people do not even understand what our Constitution says, what our laws say, and the intent of our laws. The intent is to have a very limited government. That's the reason for the originalism concept that Scalia is always talking about. That's why I post those videos to Facebook. Because so many people are rabid. Relax. Wait till the next Congress. Wait till laws change. Wait till you vote. If you have a different idea, get out, vote. That's why I never attack the left when they do that get out the vote thing. No, I'm a big fan of that. That's the American way. State your case, state your argument, state why your position is right, and then encourage people to vote and to vote your way. That's the way we do things. Not standing on the courthouse steps banging on a door. Not screaming across the street. That's just hate. You want to talk about hate speech? That's hate. I hate Trump because he's a racist, because he's this and he's that. Okay, what did he do? Shut up, you're an idiot. That's what you're getting back. Well, that's not really productive discussion. Anyway, I got to have one last word. The story is that the federal government is sending 5,200 troops to our border to defend against this caravan, which is probably a good idea, and I'll explain why. And I'll also explain what they can do and can't do. We've got a few minutes left. We'll be gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. Not to belabor the point, I just want to mention, screaming and yelling and placard holding, yeah, okay, it's your right by freedom of speech and by our laws and whatnot, but it's not productive. It really isn't. It's not going to convince anyone you're right. Screaming on a street, on a stump of your house, down the street, yelling at the top of your lungs, that's not going to convince anyone to change their mind about Donald Trump. It's not. As a matter of fact, it's going to harden people's hearts. It's one of the reasons why we have problems today in our society. Everybody's doing this. I'm not talking about the issue of the 14th Amendment, for instance. Now everyone's going nuts. Let's talk about it. I always say, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what they discussed in the Supreme Court case, which finally settled 14th Amendment rights and whatnot. Let's talk about what the Constitution says about Article 1, Article 5. Can't do it. You can't. All they do is scream at you. Donald Trump's a racist because he made this law and he wants to stop brown people from coming into the country. It's just stupid. And people as a general rule, they're not really very well educated. It's a failure. All these screaming memes, it's a failure of our education system to teach civics, to teach what we have, and to understand that presidents come and go and so do Congress and whatnot. Everyone said, we're not going to survive Obama. He's not going to give up the office. He's this person. He's an evil person. And it's just like, all right, I nobody hated Obama more than me. Well, there probably were some people, right? I know of a few specific cases that have reason to dislike Obama more than I do. But I knew he would go. wasn't an issue. I talked about it many times with people that I knew. He's going to go. 8 years, he'll be out. 4 years, we tried. But the Republican Party put up that stuffed shirt, Mitt Romney. I knew he wasn't going to win. No way. There was no way Mitt Romney was ever going to win against Barack Obama. Even Barack Obama, the night that he was reelected in front of the cameras, he looked as bewildered as anybody. Oh, my God, they reelected me. You know, the economy was trash. There was more controversy about Obamacare than anything else. I knew he couldn't win. But it changes. And I got news for you. We're going to have a Democrat president. Probably in my lifetime. We're going to have a Democrat House. We're going to have a Democrat Senate again. It's just a matter of time. And I'm going to do everything in my power to prevent it. But it's going to happen. I know that. And then when it does, I'll be as adamant as ever in saying that needs to go and trying to change it. But I'm going to do it with logic and with reason and not screaming at the top of my lungs and foaming at the mouth. That accomplishes nothing. Putting up stickers on your van saying CNN, that doesn't accomplish anything saying CNN sucks. Instead, let's talk about what CNN is doing. Let's talk about what the Times is doing, who they're hiring, specifics. That's more powerful than screaming. Believe me. And it will accomplish more. Because you'd be surprised at how many people on the left are upset with what's going on with the Democratic Party. Argue it from a point of logic and reason. And use your thinking cap, not your mouth. Military on the border. I've gone on too long, so let me be very quick. Donald Trump is sending, I've heard reports anywhere between 5,000 and 5,500, 5,200 and some news reports. It's not a point. We're spending a whole bunch of people down to the border. They can't arrest anybody. What they are there is for logistical support for the Border Patrol. In other words, they can provide manpower and helicopters to fly quickly over the border, help round people up. In other words, say, oh, no, you got to go over here. But ultimately, it's going to come down to one thing, sooner or later. Doesn't matter with this president, doesn't matter 10, 20, 30 years now. It's going to come down to one thing. Unless we have some sort of efficient barrier and border control system, that means laws, that means a wall, that means very few points of entry, it means a controlled form of immigration into this country, and not have an open border. Unless you have that sort of situation, you're eventually going to have to shoot people, and nobody wants that. Because how would you stop? What if 50,000 were coming up in these caravans? What if 100,000 comes? What if 200,000 comes? What do you do then? You can't arrest them all. I mean, if 200,000 people mob your border or bum rush your border, you got to shoot people. And nobody wants that. So why don't we build the border? Why don't we build a barrier system? Why don't we have immigration law in this country, a proper immigration law? It's not because it's racist. It's not because he hates brown people. It's not because anyone wants that. It's because we don't want violence. It's because we don't want our cities looking like downtown Honduras in what's the main city? Caracas? Oh, that's Venezuela. I can't remember a city, and it doesn't matter. We don't want our country looking like Honduras. We don't want it looking like Guatemala. Guatemala is so bad, even Mexico doesn't want them. That's how bad Guatemalans are. Not the people, just the system itself. We don't want it here. That's why we did what we did. That's why we wrote the Constitution. That's why we defend it with our rights. So we've got to do this. It's for everyone's protection, their protection as well as our own, so that they don't get exploited. That's why we're sending military down to the border, to prevent violence, not to shoot people. But ultimately, that's any time you pick up a gun, it's for deterrence. Ultimately, it's going to have to happen for that deterrence to be effective, unless you build an effective barrier system and you change your laws and then you enforce our laws. California and its open immigration and its open system borders is encouraging violence. Just like I said with this recent bomber, it's encouraging violence by saying, oh, it's a liberal plot or something. That's not the way to handle it, okay? We're way over. I'm sorry. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween. please do it safely. Go out with kids. You can't just send kids out anymore like it did back in my day. You never saw parents out, or very rarely, you know. Have a happy Halloween. Don't eat unwrapped stuff. And if you're concerned about it at all, there are hospitals and places that you could take your food to be x-rayed. You know, they've taken a lot of fun out, as I talked about today. But please stay safe. Enjoy it. Have a happy Halloween. And remember, it's just for the kids. It's supposed to be a fun holiday. And just put away the politicization of the day. If a kid dresses up like an American Indian, it's not because he hates Native Americans. It's because he's racist. It's because he wants to be a cowboy and an Indian. All right? Relax. Everybody needs to relax a little bit. Calm down. As my parents used to say, calm the fuck down when I got upset about stuff. Calm down. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care, folks. Have a good one. Oh, by the way, one last note. I know I'm really long, but okay, whatever. Two things. We're going to drop Blog Talk Radio very soon, probably in the next month. It's just, it's not working out for us. There's hardly anybody that's listening through Blog Talk Radio. And now that we have Spotify and SoundCloud, you can listen to it a whole bunch of ways, okay? It's not necessary to have it on Blog Talk Radio. There was a reason why I did it a year ago. I'm dropping it. It's going to happen in the next 30 days. And also, you've noticed the music in the show has changed. The bumper music, it's because of the laws being changed. I can no longer buy 30 seconds of song rights to 30 seconds of song. It's being blocked all over in nations, all over the world. And now with current law, President Trump recently signed a bill into law which protects artists and artists' rights and copyright protections, which is great, but it's going to cost artists in the long run because people like me can't use bumper music anymore, not without paying an enormous fee, which we don't have. So we now have to use music supplied by free music sites, public domain songs. Hey, listen, if you're a mixer or you do remixing of songs and you have the ability to do this in a legal way, I'm willing to hear your original music. Send it to me, okay? I'm looking for new bumper music because I hate the dreary music I have to put on now. If you are one of those people, I'm going to post an ad soon. I can't pay you, but I'll give you credit for it and backlinks to your website or whatever. Send it to me, all right? Take care, folks. Have a good one.
Yo, can I park here?
Let me see. Smith Street, sign says 15 minutes between Friday and... Yeah, it's probably fine.
Good. I'm just going to the AT&T store. There's a deal that's New York only. I'll run in and run out.
You didn't take the F?
Yo, you gonna park here?
Yeah, he's going to the AT&T store. They got a deal just for New York.
You didn't take the F?
Hey, New York, come into an AT&T store and find out how to get a smartphone for free. AT&T, more for your bargain hunter thing. That's our thing. Limited New York offer. See store for details.